knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I'm sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy and Kansas. Stop it. Andy and Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work. Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple of dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today is also a tragedy.
Oh, no!
And that is that there's now a White Castle. Not White Castle. God, what the hell? There's a Jack in the Box in Chicago.
I did not know that.
There hadn't been.
No, for your entire life.
Right, because
yes.
Every time we would go on the road, yep. I'd get pretty excited if there was a Jack in the Box, because
yep.
I want to get their terrible tacos.
Really bad.
They're so bad,
yeah.
But they're
in your wheelhouse for some reason.
Probably memories of drunk nights and
possible,
you know, that kind of stuff.
Phil Hartman and his sandwiches in news radio.
So there is a Jack in the Box mm-hmm. in Chicago now, and I ordered some.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was terrible?
Great. Terrible, but great.
Terrible, but great. How?
Yep.
Let me ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, is it a good Jack in the Box? Like, compared to other Jack in the Box?
Yeah.
That's
fine.
That doesn't feel like
I don't know
ringing.
How to rate it.
I think that's kind of maybe the bigger issue.
I think one of the problems is that the tacos are, like, by definition, really bad.
Right.
So, like,
right.
If you're going in with that as the standard, if it was better in quality,
yeah.
It would be a bad Jack in the Box.
Yes.
So I don't know. It got me where I needed to go.
Interesting.
Which was feeling like shit.
Interesting. It's paradoxical fast food.
Yep.
Fascinating.
So anyway, that's a tragedy.
Yeah.
What's your bright spot?
My bright spot, I'm going to have to go ahead and go with a zip because our mailbag is overflowing.
It doth overflow.
It is overflowing.
Fair amount of candy.
Yep.
Thank you, Al.
Absolutely. Amy? Thank you for the ray gun apparel. Yeah.
Got some socks. Got some stuff for your dogs.
We got some dog stuff, cat stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a delight. It's a demon feast, if you will.
Yeah.
Ah.
And Al has reinforced my perception.
Yes.
That is somewhat controversial, although mm-hmm. some people have jumped on board with it, and that is affirming that the European mind is very interested in marshmallows.
It's gummy based, yeah.
Not even gummy based.
No, yeah.
Marshmallow and gummy are two different paths down a similar road. They both are chewy,
they're
but
both,
they are not the same.
They're both made of horse parts.
That's historically true,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Maybe.
Hooves.
I may have made that up.
Hooves.
It's either glue or marshmallows or both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is a marshmallow but a tasty glue?
Is it marrow? Is it like bone marrow that makes up the... Let's say that it is. Why not? Marshmallow.
Sure.
Yeah.
You could use marshmallows as an adhesive if you need it.
I mean, Rice Krispie Treats are essentially that.
That's just cereal with adhesive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Crack this case. In record time.
That's just cereal with adhesive.
Yep.
Oh, I like it.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Oh, okay.
And we are going to talk about something off the beaten path a little bit, because Alex has been out of studio.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get down to business on that. But before we do, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new walks.
I think that's a great idea.
So first, pie is better than cake! Exclamation point. Thank you so much. You're an Out Policy Wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Fine.
Freak Wharf.
I don't care.
Paul F. Tompkins.
Here's my hot take.
What's that?
I don't care. I've spent hours drunkenly arguing with people about whether a hot dog's a sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm 40,
yeah.
I have come to a point where I don't give a fuck. Pie and cake are both good. They're fine.
Yeah.
Hot dog's a sandwich and it's not. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Let's not do this anymore.
I've never participated in a hot dog conversation. I've never taken a cake v pie stance.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever people were like, oh, it's blue or silver and gold or whatever, I was like, I don't
know. You're talking about the dress.
Yeah. I don't know. It could be anything.
Yeah. Hot dog, you think it's a sandwich?
I don't even know what a sandwich is, really, whenever I stop to consider it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's the point.
I mean, I like a chicken sandwich. Is that a hot dog?
Yep.
Fair enough.
Next, Isla, you're just a few days old, but now you're a wonk. We love you. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Alex Jones can suck a wet fart. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Eli, please stop listening to Knowledge Fight in the bathroom and go catch the bus. Love your dad. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So, Jordan, today, like I said, Alex has been out of studio, and I wasn't in the mood to talk about what the underlings who were wearing their dad's ill-fitting suit were up to. So
sure.
I decided to go afield for today's episode. I've said in the past that I want to cover Tucker Carlson more, and I should be clear with folks that that is something that's going to happen.
God damn it.
I'm not going to leave Alex behind, but he's severely lacking in inspiration these days, and Tucker is rising into an insane position in the media landscape.
Hmm.
He's simultaneously looked at as a mainstream adjacent figure who had a number one news show on cable in the not-too-distant past, and he's a person who can do public interviews about how he was attacked by a literal demon, and somehow this doesn't ruin his career.
Hmm?
One of the things that gives Alex the power to the content that he has, it's the ability to take the image of being serious and funneling that towards extreme ideas. He pretends to be an intrepid investigator who just covers what he can prove based on the secret documents and deep-level sources that he has. He takes that credibility that the character he's created implies, then he uses that to sell the audience white identity ideology and extreme right-wing Christian nationalism as a whole, under the pretense of that's what this intrepid investigator who only reports on the facts is
doing.
If
the facts are the devil's fucking with you, then the devil's fucking with you. It's just the facts, man.
Right. He's using the credibility of the fake character to get past the part where you would demand evidence that the devil is fucking with you.
Sure. Well,
Tucker is engaged in a similar pivot, where he's built up the credibility of the character of a newsman, broadcasting a respectable show on cable TV, which he's now deploying to sell similar religious messaging. There's an insidiousness to this whole project, because folks like Tucker and Alex only operate like this because they know that they couldn't sell their message any other way. If on day one at Fox News, Tucker got on air and said that he was attacked by a demon and that the presidential election was a fight between a benevolent father figure and the literal devil, he would have never been given the opportunity to cultivate the character of a respectable newsman that he's now exploiting. People would have seen through it, and they rightly would have ignored him, and he would have been cast aside. But now he's become too much of a problem because of the fake persona that he's built up that he can get away with this kind of shit.
Right.
The moment we're in right now is very interesting because it's one where it seems like Tucker doesn't see any benefit in maintaining the old facade that he had. There's a real smoke 'em if you got 'em kind of feeling around his recent career, and I think that that's a bad portent, and I think it's something, you know, worth not glossing over. Anyway, today we're going to talk about an interview that Tucker recently did on an outlet called Redacted News.
Oh, my God.
Redacted.
Fine.
It's all just
fine.
It's all just one big beep.
Fine.
The episode's redacted.
How dare they call it that? But fine.
It's just one big black bar over the screen.
What are we doing?
Yep.
That sounds like a name that they thought was so cool.
Yeah.
And are still like, why do you think our name is dumb?
It is. It's cool in that, like,
if you were in eighth grade.
Right. The way that
the Stussy.
The way that youths name bands.
Yes. You know? Yeah, very much.
This will get attention.
The shitting
this'll
ponies. Yeah.
So we start here with the host of Redacted News.
Okay.
Joking around a little bit with Tucker about how there was a rumor that Tucker might be press secretary.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say congratulations, first of all, that President Trump has selected you as press secretary.
That's not funny!
I was stunned by that news last week, and I mean, I woke up, I said, what the hell? And I immediately knew it was a joke. I mean, not a joke, but I think, I don't know who started the rumor or who made a fake post about it. What was your morning like that morning? Because I texted you, I knew it was a joke right away. I mean, I texted you and I just said, this is hilarious. But I'm sure people fell for it, right?
Well, I was actually working that morning when it came out, I guess, because by the time I got to my phone, it was just overwhelming. You know, that's the last job you would want. I'm 55. You know, after 33 years in the media, I don't want to sit in a room full of people from CBS News, you know what I mean, and have to post some party line. I love Trump. I voted for Trump. I did rallies for Trump. Adult men can speak for themselves, and I don't think anybody at least any middle-aged man, I speak for the middle-aged man community, wants to read other people's talking points. I mean, you know, of course not. And I definitely would not do that. I would not. You know, most people haven't been in the briefing room or the White House. It's the most depressing, airless, sad, kind of just creepy. It smells like a Tim Walz's locker room. You know, it's just like naughty stuff has gone on.
It's
there.
Not funny.
Impure thoughts have been had there. I just don't want to be in that environment at this age at all. But I would love to like go for a day and do like a guest gig or something just to like get my aggressions out. That would be fun.
Well, you got to do that. You got to do that quite a bit on this tour. I mean, going around around the country and even before that, like around the world.
He did lash out quite a bit on the tour. I'll give him credit for that.
That's true.
So Tucker is a crafty dude, and he knows damn well that the press secretary is a position that exists in the present day as a punching bag. That's not a position that anyone would accept unless they were willing to risk becoming a scapegoat. It would be unbecoming and a sign of desperation for someone in Tucker's position to accept a role like that.
Absurd.
You would need to think, like, I need exposure this badly that I could become Sean Spicer or whatever.
Anybody named Spice Seaner is due for the job.
Right.
Done.
Yeah, I think you got to be pretty desperate, and Tucker's not quite there yet.
No.
This guy interviewing Tucker is Clayton Morris, one of the hosts of Redacted News. He and his wife were real estate folks, and he was a host on Fox and Friends for a bit, but weirdly, in 2019, they up and moved to Portugal. His wife claimed, quote, "I'm not one of those who rejects America. We had a good life there, but my husband and I have had a hard few years in our business, and this collective soul challenge forced us to question everything." This collective soul challenge doesn't involve the 90s grunge band Collective Soul. Instead, it's a reference to a barrage of lawsuits that Clayton had filed against him, alleging fraudulent business practices.
Sure.
So here's the basic sketch of these lawsuits.
Yeah.
It was alleged that Clayton organized the sale of properties in Indiana to folks living out of state, with the understanding that the properties would be rehabbed and then rented out, and his business would take care of all of that process.
Sure.
These out-of-state parties were, in essence, investors in the purchase and flipping of these rental properties. The New York Times describes the plan like this. Quote, "Their plan was to connect mom-and-pop investors with turnkey investment homes in Detroit, Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Florida, and several other cities. Their company, Morris Invest, would handle all the details, finding properties, overseeing renovations, hiring property managers to rent out the houses. All clients had to do was put up the cash and wait for their checks to arrive." So this started to become a problem because investors started learning that these properties were not being renovated and
what?
In some cases were sold without the full disclosure of their circumstances.
Sure.
For instance, one man bought a home that was destroyed in a fire days after the fire, and he was unaware of that detail, that there had been a fire.
Well,
in the midst of this fallout, as lawsuits started piling up, Clayton and Morris Invest pointed the finger at a company called Ocean Point and its founder, Bert Whalen. Clayton would have you know that he's just a victim in this whole thing, too.
Sure.
He was just referring customers to Ocean Point. He was just the middleman. Come on, man.
Sure. No big deal.
So Whalen's lawyer said that Clayton got $6,500 as a referral fee for each sale. And in Indianapolis alone, that would involve 700 homes, racking up a cool $4.5 million.
Holy shit.
Even if you really believe that he's just this middleman guy who's
crushing it, man.
So I'm not sure the extent to which Clayton or Morris Invest knew what was up and how much they were just happy to feed customers into a fraud racket and collect a fee. But I do know that in 2022, Whalen admitted to federal charges involving conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Part of his confession involved admitting that he had defrauded the investors, going so far as to create fake leases to trick them into thinking that their properties were occupied by tenants, when in reality they were often nowhere near ready to be rented, or in some cases were vacant lots. He also commingled some rent payments from actually occupied properties and, quote, selected which investors would be paid from the pool of funds in order to silence investors who voiced concerns and evade detection of the fraud. So essentially, Bert Whalen and Ocean Point were running a real estate fraud pyramid scheme, and whether or not Clayton Morris was involved in it directly, he traded in his fame and Fox News celebrity status to direct investors to work with Whalen. The New York Times talked to a guy named Brian Freeman, who lost $40,000 in the scam, who describes Clayton like this, quote, "He comes across as this nice, likable family guy. He's famous, and I thought, he's not going to ruin his entire reputation. Obviously, in hindsight, I feel like such an idiot." it's tough to imagine that Clayton wouldn't have uncovered this very clear scam if he'd exercised due diligence in vetting who he was working with. So I guess he was either complicit in this real estate scam, or he was so uninterested in what he was profiting off selling to people that he was duped into being the front man for an obvious scam. Either way, I can see how this would be a, quote, collective soul challenge for him and his wife that would lead them to moving to Portugal.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the wise move there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, now I guess he does this show called Redacted News where he talks about the real important issues that the man won't cover, like whatever was popular on right-wing dipshit Twitter that day. And Tucker Carlson and him are bros. Because they both used to work at Fox News.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go and say that, you know, while I don't admire the guy, I think he's made the right moves in his life.
He's made a lot of money.
He's made a shit ton of money, and he's faced no consequences for it. And now he lives in Portugal? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way to go. What?
Hard to argue.
Holy shit.
Hard to argue with it unless you recognize the reality of all the people who were hurt.
You know, what are you going to do?
If they count... It's not great.
You know, slumlording, what are you going to do? They just let Donald Sterling own the Clippers for like 60 years. So who knows?
So the two of these guys,
yeah.
They both worked at Fox News.
Sure.
And they're both friends with Trump, man.
Obviously.
You spent quite a bit of time, obviously, with the president-elect here in the last few months. You know, I hate to ask the obvious question, but like, what was that like? What was that? I mean, so many people watching right now, I just can't even imagine being in a room with the president. They'd probably, you know, be a nervous wreck. But you got to spend quite a bit of time with him. What was that like for you?
Well, I mean, how many times have you, Clayton Morris, interviewed Donald Trump? Like 100? So no, you know Trump well. I don't know if the viewers know that you do, but I know that you do, and he's exactly the same in person as he is, as you well know, as he is in private, which is kind of the great thing about him. He's more, you know, he's more colorful in private. You know, he's more, a little freer in what he'll say, but in general, he's
like, grab him by the pussy.
Not like, you know, some televangelist who gets off the stage and, you know, and is a totally different person. He's not like that at all.
Like saying Trump is grab him by the pussy.
Trump in a million different, in a lot of different countries, and he's always the same guy. So he's great. I mean, he's like the most entertaining, the most interesting. He has perceptions that you wouldn't kind of come to by yourself.
It's kind of crazy. So it's cool to learn that these guys are friends with the future president. You know, that they're both such cool dudes. Like, one of them was attacked by a demon, and one was the middleman, witting or unwitting, in an elaborate real estate fraud scheme. These are the kind of people you want the president hanging out with. What I'm curious about in terms of what Tucker just said, though, is that he said that he's been with Trump in a bunch of different countries, and he's always the same. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
I'm very curious.
Utterly confused.
Why a bunch of different countries?
And why would you want him to be the same?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that makes even less sense.
I do think that there's some value in being like, maybe he's a little bit more subdued in public than he is at his rallies and stuff. But Tucker went the other direction.
Yeah.
He's more gregarious and colorful in person. That's scary.
Okay.
That's a scary idea.
You know what? I hadn't considered this until you said he's the future president. Because no, he's not. He's the past president who's just taking the job back, right? What did they call Grover Cleveland while he was Supreme Court justicing and the past and future president?
Mm.
Like, what were they calling him at the time?
Grover.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That is a weird collection of jobs to have all at the same time.
And a Muppet?
He's a great piano player, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So not only do these guys like Trump.
Sure.
They also love, hold on, Mike Tyson? What?
Yeah.
He's
sure.
Not like a genius in a conventional sense, but he has an intuitive sense that's honestly brilliant. I mean, you don't get to be president by accident, especially the way that he did it. No, he's
Woodrow
an amazing
Wilson.
Person, and I don't think anybody who spent time with him, and he's a very warm person, as you know. He's a legit
right.
warm guy. And so I really enjoyed it. I mean, Friday night I watched the Tyson fight. I know Tyson. Trump knows Tyson really well, really loves Tyson as a person. He said he had 17 Tyson fights at his casinos. So he's known Tyson for 40 years and really likes him as a person. And I know Mike pretty well, and I like him a lot as a person too. So we, you know, just sat and watched the fights and ate ice cream sundaes. And, you know, it's like fun. Like, he's a good guy.
Let's not forget that Mike Tyson served about 3 years in prison after he was convicted of rape. I know that folks like Tucker aren't particularly interested in real sex criminals, but maybe Tucker should be mad that Mike Tyson got a tattoo of Mao while he was in jail. This dude loves Mao.
What are you going to do?
Shouldn't this be an issue for
Tucker? He's not a conventional genius, though.
No, that was about Trump. Trump's not the conventional genius.
Mike Tyson isn't a conventional genius either.
That's true.
See? Same difference.
I lick the toad and then I talk to Mao.
Tyson and Trump speak to each other through the heart and the mind. Yeah.
So they ate ice cream sundaes at the Tyson fight.
Sure.
Tucker and Trump.
Yeah.
And this leads into a little section where it seems to be like Tucker is amazed that Trump can eat like a goat. He can eat trash and it's totally fine.
You know, thinking of Tucker and Trump eating ice cream sundaes while an old man and a child fight each other.
For pretends.
That doesn't make me angry at all.
No.
No, I have no desire to throw chairs through anything.
Does it make you mad to know that Trump doesn't get, like, really bad diarrhea from eating fast
that
food?
That doesn't. I'm grateful to him, I guess.
Well, you're about to hear a bit about it.
Okay.
There's so much swirling around him that's intense, and some of it's very, very dark, and efforts to kill him, obviously. He never seems bothered by it. And I don't really understand. And his physical stamina.
He's a psycho!
Man, I'm, as I said, 55. If I ate like a Big Mac and then an ice cream sundae, which I love to do, by the way, first of all, yes. I get really, really quick, like immediately. The next day, I can't fit in my pants. And I'm totally out of energy and spacey, and just bad food affects me. I think it affects all of us. It does not affect him. It's the weirdest thing you've ever seen. You like, you know, scarf a Big Mac and he's like totally on it. I don't know. He's got a different metabolism, just physiologically he's different.
Trump can handle bad food.
Let me tell you something. Here's what you don't even know. Here's what you wish you know, but Tucker is too scared to tell you this amount of Trump news, okay? Trump can wake up in the middle of the night and be like 3:45.
Right.
And it is every time because of God.
Doesn't it feel
And he doesn't shit himself while he does it.
Yeah, doesn't it feel a little bit like some kind of just old archaic king worship? This idea of like he can eat the foods that you make you dizzy and feel bad and he doesn't feel bad because he's built different. He has a genetics. There's a difference to him. He doesn't have to wipe because he shits so clean.
I mean, it is interesting that
come on.
People who strongly deny evolution often behave worshiping towards the largest monkey.
Mm.
The one who can bring them the most food, if you will.
Yeah, and eat the bad food and not have...
And, oh, wow, he can eat the rotten fucking gazelle.
Yeah, so sure. this is apparently a pretty big point for Tucker, though. The fact that Trump can eat bad stuff.
Why are these people so fucking weird,
it's
man?
It's very strange.
Some people are just genetic anomalies. He's that. If I tried that, I'll speak for myself. If I tried that, you know, I would be in a diabetic coma. I mean, like, no sleep, constant travel, always performing, getting attacked from all sides, massive cortisone levels, stress levels. I just, and I'm not sucking up, by the way. I'm not like, you know, oh, Trump is perfect or anything like that. But that's just true. Donald Trump is, like, not like you and me that way at all.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I can go on a health binge for a few weeks and feel great, and then I just have, you know, one or two off meals, and I feel like Homer Simpson, like in just like short order.
Totally,
it's pretty remarkable. And then it's a slippery slope, and then I just want to keep doing it, just keep eating more donuts.
Trump can eat those donuts, and he's fine. He's fine. Not like you, you simple human. You simple human, you'll gain weight.
You know,
Trump will not.
You know what struck me? I was thinking about this, and I was just thinking, like, no good administrator has ever won a popularity contest. And yet the only people we put in charge win popularity contests. It's very
true.
Strange.
It is strange.
It is very strange that this is what, like, oh, I don't want somebody who's like, oh, I can do paperwork quickly. Mm-hmm. No. This man eats shit and doesn't shit.
Yeah. I don't know, like, how I would feel about breathless discussion of Biden's diet.
Sure.
You know, I do.
I know how I would feel about it.
Well, I haven't been confronted with it, so I'm not sure, like, how I would respond. I think I would probably feel similarly to this.
Fair.
Especially if it's like his diet's bad and he's so strong he can withstand it.
Sure.
Like, this just seems pathetic.
Can he withstand being pushed out of a plane? No, then we're all equal in the air.
Right. Huh. I also think, like, well, I mean, if this is what we're doing, then just imagine how great he would be if he didn't eat all that shit.
I mean, I don't know what you want or out maybe, of being proud of eating trash.
But maybe he's so scary as, like, an entity that he needs to eat this trash or else his light would shine so bright.
Okay.
That we just couldn't handle it. It would be a danger to us.
I'll throw this out. Let me ask you this question. Do we know if raccoons are by nature good leaders? And if they are by nature good leaders, could it have something to do with always eating trash?
Mm-hmm. Well, my friend Angela Lansbury and I watched Air Bud 4
sure.
the other night. And,
the raccoon version?
There is a raccoon in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Of course.
He doesn't play sports, though.
He leads the team.
He's not a good leader.
Oh, shit.
No, he's kind of he's working with the bad guys.
Oh, boy.
His role in the movie is convoluted. Not a good leader.
Has a lot of yellow blonde hair kind of combed over on top of his head.
You don't see him eating a Big Mac.
Mm.
But... So there's another line of question after we talk about Trump eating bad food.
My God.
Clayton wants to know, like, hey, what has Trump learned that it's going to be different this time around?
Sure.
And Tucker has a very interesting answer.
I think he has learned the lesson a lot of us learn over time, which is you can't trust anyone who hasn't been humiliated in public unless someone's really been through it, you know, really been through it, been fired from his job, accused of a crime. You know, and stayed true to what he believed, hasn't collapsed inside and become Michael Cohen. You know, it's only people like that you can really trust under pressure. And I certainly feel that way in my life, which is why when I got fired from my last job, the people I brought with me are the people who came with me, you know, because they've been through all this stuff and I knew who they were. It's easy to be, you know, a great person if there's no pressure applied to you. But when things start to fall apart, you know, people move in directions you can't anticipate. So you want tough people. Courage is the indispensable requirement, I think, for leadership.
Getting fired from Fox wasn't the first time Tucker was publicly humiliated. He wore a bow tie for years and got dunked on by Jon Stewart so hard that he stopped wearing bow ties. I get what Tucker is trying to say, and it's an idea that you need to have integrity and that oftentimes people cave to public pressure, and that's not the kind of person you want around. It's not a strong leader who can be swayed by public opinion. This is an all right idea at its core, but it's being applied in a grotesque way here, where the standard for a person's integrity is some kind of public humiliation. I think what Tucker is missing is keeping any actual standards for how people behave after this public humiliation, where he's just arbitrarily deciding that the people he likes are the ones who had the courage to withstand that challenge. My reason for thinking this is that Tucker doesn't even come close to passing his own test. He was publicly humiliated in the mid-2000s, and he changed his entire shtick from being a neoconservative George W. Bush supporter to being a fake populist right-winger on Fox News. Then he was publicly humiliated again as it relates to the 2020 election coverage and that lawsuit, and he changed his shtick again from being a fake populist right-wing guy to being a fucking idiot who pretends he was attacked by a demon and sells anti-woke smokeless tobacco. This is Tucker attempting to play the classic Alex game, where consequences are an indication of virtue. Alex believes that he only gets attacked because he's over the target, and therefore he's a danger to his imaginary enemies, and this is what's underneath what Tucker is trying to express. He only experiences public humiliation if it's a test from the globalists, and if you fail that test and change who you are, then you didn't have it to begin with.
Hmm.
There's also a thread of, like, really mob-sounding shit in there, where Michael Cohen is the example of someone who faced the heat from the cops, and he revealed that he was disloyal to the boss. I don't think that's specifically what Tucker wants to evoke, but it's coming across a little bit. This loyalty to Trump is
yeah.
the metal that's being tested.
Yeah, I see that. I wonder if I feel the same way. Not, I mean, I don't know if he means it this way, but to a certain extent, I agree with Tucker wholeheartedly for why this would work, is if you have gone through the public humiliation, you are essentially untouchable. You know, like, again, Trump grabs him by the pussy and he can do it in public now. Mm-hmm. So, like, Once you've gone through the humiliation and made it through the other side, there's nothing that, you know, and that's why Tucker can change his stick.
You can say anything as a comic once you've put out your uncancelable special or whatever.
There you go.
Know, once, once you have the enlightenment and the realization that, like, oh, this cancel culture stuff is all just...
They can't hurt me.
This is just a business model. I don't actually, you know, I'm not really beholden to
none
this
of these
public
people
opinion
are real.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Once you, then you are free.
Yeah.
And you do come to a place where you could probably better serve the king.
Yeah.
But like, I don't think that it's real. Like, I don't think what he's expressing. I think that dynamic is real.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think what Tucker is saying is real.
Right.
Like, I don't think that there's a truth to, like, you can only trust people who have been publicly humiliated.
I mean, yeah. I wonder, because there is a, because you're right, there is a little bit of that mob shit with Cohen, too, though, is that, like, Cohen revealed that he's willing to have a conscience or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas, like, Giuliani... still not doing it. Mm-hmm. Still not taking it back. Trump can probably pardon Giuliani, and it'll be fine.
Yeah. I think you can. Okay, so it's an interesting thing where you can trust someone before they're publicly humiliated and reveal whether or not they're loyal to the king.
Exactly.
You can, but if you've gone through it and been battle hardened and shown that you're loyal, then you're probably a safer bet.
Totally. Trump could take a shit in front of the Four Seasons Lawn Company at this point, and it's like, what are you going to do?
Right.
You've got nothing on me, man.
Tucker did a video where he said he was attacked by a fucking demon.
Exactly. You've lost.
And he's still got the marks on him and everything.
Either it doesn't matter or you lost, not them. Yeah.
Or Matt Gaetz was nominated for Attorney General.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah. Still might get the job. Why not?
So Tucker likes that Gaetz guy.
Of course.
You know, it's easy to say or even to believe the right things, but it's harder to carry them out under fire. And so I do think he's appointed people who've been through it. I mean, Tulsi Gabbard has been through it. Bobby has been through it. Matt Gaetz, whatever you think, has been through it. I mean, Matt Gaetz got accused of child sex trafficking by the Department of Justice, which then never charged him for child sex trafficking. I mean, which if you think about it, like, people need to go to doing that. I mean, how would you like it if I'm like, you know, the DOJ announced today that Clayton Morris is, you know, responsible for genocide in Central Africa. Okay. Well, prove it. And then you get fired from your job and all your neighbors hate you and your wife divorces you or whatever. Like, your world falls apart.
Right.
And then DOJ is like, well, actually, we're not charging him for genocide in Central Africa. It's like, the people who did that to you should be punished for it. And they did that to Matt Gaetz. If he's a child sex trafficker, prove it in court, bitch. And if he's not, you're committing a crime by saying he is. It's super simple. So I do think...
Say it again.
I believe this, that Trump picks Gaetz and people like Gaetz because he knows who they are and they know who they are because they've been forced to learn.
I was shocked by that. That Bull. Bitch out of nowhere was quite a drop.
There are ways to say bitch, and then there are then there's that.
Yeah.
There's what that was.
It felt really out of place.
Gross.
So the DOJ didn't accuse Matt Gaetz of child sex trafficking. They investigated an allegation that was brought to them by a witness about him doing drugs and having sex with a minor. They looked into it, but didn't press charges against him. However, Gaetz's friend Joel Greenberg is currently in jail because of all this, doing 11 years after pleading guilty to charges including underage sex trafficking. The House Ethics Committee has wanted to release their report on an investigation about the allegations against Gaetz, but Republicans have been blocking that for a while, notably when Trump had nominated Gaetz to be Attorney General.
Huh.
There's an argument that ethics reports aren't supposed to be put out during a time when there's an election because of the political implications of a race. And I don't agree with that, but some people make that argument. Whatever.
Hey, emails.
Now that he's withdrawn himself from consideration for that position and resigned from Congress, seemingly destined for a budding career in the right-wing shit-talk industry.
For sure.
The Ethics Committee has voted to release their report. As of the time of recording this episode, that's not out yet, so I have no idea what it'll say. No idea.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not a surprise that Tucker is into Gaetz, though. Like, he was just talking about how Mike Tyson's a great guy, so maybe there's a pattern here.
I mean,
small little pattern.
The moment you're a guy who says something very similar to, if you actually like take the meaning of his words, something along the lines of the only thing worse than rape is being falsely accused of rape.
Mm-hmm.
That person is
not great.
You should leave him alone forever in a hole.
It's not great. So Clayton Morris has a point here that actually was where this transcended into like, this is kind of bringing up an interesting point that I want to cover.
Okay.
He talks about the dangers of lying by omission.
That's something you said to me. Not said to me, but you've said, I think, publicly a couple of times after you left your last job. It's about lying by omission. And I think about that often doing the show that we do, because it's very easy to lie by omission, to build a show and to leave out key things because it makes you uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Or because you're receiving money from some source or whatever. So it's very nefarious. I mean, because you can flip on legacy media today and you can say, oh, that they're in the tank for the Democrats. They're in the tank for conservatives and Trump. But there's always like 30% of the things they're missing. They're just not saying it for some reason. And you wonder, and that to me is a deep state. Is it deep state money? How many of the, you know, to me, it's always follow the money. But what do you make of that? Because I see it now happening in alternative media. Like, forget the cable box, forget Fox News, forget MSNBC, forget CNN and lying by omission or whatever. But now it's happening in alternative media, like the independent media. And it's I think it's creeping in there and it's bothering me. I don't know if you see it or you're aware of it or what you think.
I think I know what you mean. I mean, well, certainly it's just a feature of the human experience. I've wrestled with it personally because, if I'm being honest, and I always want to be honest, you know, you say things you believe are true.
That's
your obligation. Your obligation on the universe is not to ever say anything you know to be untrue. Not to lie.
Is it?
Right.
On the other hand, are you under any kind of obligation to say everything you believe is true? No. I mean, I have thoughts about, you know, things that are embarrassing or not relevant to anything. I could be completely wrong or, you know, he's gained a lot of weight. Probably not going to share that. They're hurtful for no good purpose.
And you turn into Kramer from Seinfeld, where you just walk into a room
exactly,
and you're, man,
right,
you need a nose job. Like,
exactly. It's totally right.
Ha ha ha. Tucker's totally right. You don't have a requirement to say everything you think or know. You just can't say lies. It would be impossible to say everything like at once that you know to be true. He's just a pillar of integrity. Incidentally, Tucker has a habit of lying by omission to his audience. He was caught in a particularly grotesque instance of this after he interviewed Ye, who was presented as, quote, not crazy and, quote, worth listening to. Unfortunately, someone leaked footage that Tucker shot but edited out of the released interview where Ye said a bunch of anti-Semitic shit, accused Louis Vuitton of murder, and rambled about how there were children who'd been replaced by actors in his house. Tucker lied by omission to his audience because he wanted to. It was profitable to do that interview, and he knew that he could edit the interview just enough so it would advance Tucker's interests that aligned with what Ye was saying at the time. He knew that. That was a calculation that he made, so he lied by omission. Tucker's not only a master of lying by omission, he also has literally said in interviews that he's willing to lie if he feels backed into a corner in a conversation. Tucker Carlson is a giant liar, and that's important to remember when he starts blowing hard about honesty and how important it is.
Yeah.
So there's a guy lying about the act of being honest.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I wonder if you would consider the fun term for lying that they call sane washing to be lying by omission.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, if you want to represent the true, I guess, thrust of a Trump monologue, the only way to do so is to print the monologue by only printing the parts that you think make sense.
But I would say
that's lying by omission.
I think you could end up in a pretty difficult position there, though, too, because I think some, if you have just a transcript, that might even be sane washing because some of the meter and the way he delivers certain things are lost in translation from his delivery to the page.
Right.
So almost like the only way to not sane wash in some way is just to
madman speaks.
Or just show the entire thing. Just put the entire thing there.
It's
like you now are obligated to watch an hour of this.
I mean, I wonder how much of our media diet is affected just by people being like, we've only got so many column inches, you know?
I think there's an element to that. And I think that some of it is the same thing that Tucker is pretending to be concerned about,
right,
which is you can't say everything that's true all at once.
Right.
You know?
Right.
You're obligated not to tell untruths, not to say everything that is true.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that sometimes well-meaning people even can...
I think it's mostly...
Can lie by omission.
I think it's almost all well-meaning people who lie by omission.
Sure. I'm not saying that that criticism doesn't exist
sure.
in a lot of places.
No, that's
just
the problem.
Ironic from him.
Exactly. That's the problem with it. And that's, again, what their secret power is that, yeah, mm-hmm. they've got a point.
So this that is one of the big reasons. This is going to sort of be a thread that goes throughout the rest of this mm-hmm. this interview. And I thought that this idea about lying by omission
yeah.
is something that implicates Tucker particularly mm-hmm. and makes this interview interesting.
Yeah.
But also, he declares how cool Joe Rogan is.
Of course.
Joe Rogan deserves the credit for creating an entire new genre of podcasting from which I'm benefiting. So I'm grateful to Joe Rogan.
Does he?
I mean that. Plus, I love Joe Rogan anyway, but he did that single-handedly. So, and I guess we're both beneficiaries of it. He created this thing like yeah. it didn't exist before. It's an amazing right. thing. And, you know, if the world were fair, then, you know, everyone in the media would be tipping a hat to him. Like, did you invent the newspaper? Did you invent radio? Did you invent television? I don't think so. Joe Rogan essentially invented podcasting. I mean, he made it clear to everybody else that this could both have an effect and be a real business. You know, who thought that would be true? He proved it.
Rogan didn't invent podcasting, even by a wide interpretation of that definition. Mm-mm. There were existing podcasting businesses before Rogan, and really when it's all said and done, the innovation that Rogan had in terms of podcasting is the refinement of reveling in idiocy. Coast to Coast AM existed before Rogan, and it reveled in a lot of the same dumb waters. You can take some trippy nonsense that you can't really explain, like Bigfoot, and then talk to someone who pretends to be a scholar about that stuff, and then have your mind blown by the fact that you can't really disprove the stuff they're saying. It sometimes creates interesting thoughts, and it's fun content, but when it's treated as more important than that, you get into trouble. And that's what Rogan's done. He's taken rolling around in shit seriously, and because he's a cool comedian with cool comedian friends, he's been able to translate that into the media empire that he now runs. He's become so rich and famous that he's able to get whatever guest he wants on the show, and he's able to use the platform as a bully pulpit for whatever poorly thought through thing he's been dealing with that week, or whatever's on dipshit social media. He can get outraged about how kids have litter boxes at schools.
Yeah.
Because he's a stupid, dumb fuck who, takes it too seriously. This is what I was thinking about when I was reflecting on what Tucker is saying about Rogan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If Mark Maron had wanted to do this, he mm-hmm. could have.
He had the opportunity and he was at the right time
yes.
to have pulled it off, yes.
And I think that
he's just
smarter.
Wasn't that guy.
I think he's smarter.
Which is why he couldn't pull it off.
Well, maybe because he's also more self-critical and would probably sabotage it along the way because
that is kind of his
not allowing himself to revel in this level of bullshit.
Right.
But then I was thinking about it. I'm like, Jeff Probst could have done this.
Sure.
Like, if he wanted to start a podcast at some point,
mm-hmm.
we could be living in a reality where Jeff Probst was Joe Rogan.
Yeah. I think I would even argue that if you want to say Rogan is a thing, then Howard Stern invented podcasting.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, Rogan's just doing that
mm-hmm.
in Rogan way.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and I think Howard Stern had a much larger uphill climb in terms of
totally.
People not letting him do the freeform kind of stuff that he wanted to do.
Right. If anybody pioneered what Rogan did by making it into the mainstream, Howard Stern pushed this concept out there and then allowed for an independent media to ape it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then even before him, you had Father Coughlin.
There you go. I wouldn't put those two in the same I wouldn't put those two in the same basket.
It's free speech.
I'm not saying they're in completely different baskets.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't put them in the same basket.
Well, and then even like more to the point, Rogan could trace some of this, like, we're having a long form interview thing and be like, this is kind of what people were doing on like shortwave radio.
Totally.
And like,
yeah,
there was a whole AM radio kind of thing that existed long before Rogan. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, you can't.
Maybe Tucker just doesn't understand.
You can't
care.
Just say about a popular person because the whole thing would come crumbling down. If you just say like, oh, it was just timing and luck and the vagaries of culture. And here we are. There's no other explanation for it.
It's a large piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And he was on news radio and Fear Factor,
yeah.
And he had called out Carlos Mencia at a time when YouTube was really in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
If he hadn't have done it, someone else would have filled those.
And it would have been like Probst.
Yeah, it would have been like the universe had a hole in it. You know, like if it weren't for the Beatles, somebody else would have done Beatles things.
Right.
If they may have made different music or whatever, but the time was right for fucking four assholes to become the most popular thing on the earth.
Did you ever see that movie where the Beatles music doesn't exist?
No, I have not.
And then the guy starts playing Beatles songs because he remembers and no one else does.
Oh my God.
I never saw it. I saw the trailer.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, the media is dead.
Sure.
And they died because of corruption.
That. Okay.
If there's a lesson of what happened to television and newspapers, print, and legacy media,
is
they died because they were corrupt. I mean, the business models changed, et cetera, et cetera. There are ways to, they won't evolve. Like, the people who work at NBC News will not have careers in journalism 10 years from now. And the reason they won't is not because of technology. It's because they have no credibility because they're corrupt. They're liars. So that's really the lesson. Corruption kills you, especially in a business predicated on trust, which is the media. Don't emulate that. Don't be corrupt. And, you know, there are people on social media, influencers on both sides, and we're learning more about it now, posting, who took money in order to endorse certain people or ideas. That's corrupt. I mean, look, I take advertising. I think you do, too. It's okay.
Corruption.
To say, I'm being paid to promote this product. And by the way, I like the product or whatever you say, but it's very clear you're being paid to promote something. It secretly promoting things for money is, you know, maybe you make, you know, a decent living doing that. But over time, it devalues your currency and makes people not believe you, not trust you. Why would they? And there was some of that in this last cycle. And I hope the people who did it will just admit that they did it and be very open about it. And I hope it's not like a story we find out about in 5 years and all of a sudden, you know, people don't trust us anymore.
So in 2023, when Tucker was setting up his new company after getting the boot from Fox, he got funding from a firm called 1789 Capital, which is run by an anti-woke businessman named Omid Malik. Incidentally, last month it was announced that Donald Trump Jr. is becoming a partner of 1789 Capital, joining Malik and Rebecca Mercer.
How about that?
According to Reuters, quote, the idea for 1789 Capital began at a secretive conservative donor group, Rockbridge Network, which was co-founded by Buskirk and VP-elect J.D. Vance. When Tucker launched, his first sponsor was an anti-woke app called Public Square, Public SQ, whose board of directors includes 1789 Capital founder Omid Malik.
How about that?
Seems cool and no big deal that this company gave Tucker $15 million. That does not call my ability to trust him into question at all. Is he lying by omission by not discussing this show is brought to you by 1789 Capital on every show?
By the murderer of millions of people all over, Mercer. Yeah,
the Mercer family is behind this, and also now Donald Trump Jr., the son of the president, who I am sycophantically talking about how he can digest fast food, is on the board of this company that gave me $15 million.
Feels corrupt.
Go fuck off.
Feels corrupt.
There's problems, sure, on the larger scale of the media, pharmaceutical ads, whatever. That's a real complaint and what have you. But go fuck yourself, Tucker.
Yeah.
This is shameful.
Yeah. You know, here's what I was just thinking. All right. You know how I've said in the past, like, what I want is a mirror that forces these people to see them true selves.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, just listening to that, maybe the power of being a true out and out psychopath, like straight up psychopath, is that you can look into that mirror.
Yes.
You can see it perfectly.
Yes.
And all you have to do is describe it, and people will think you're talking about other people.
I don't think that Tucker would be able to speak these ways and about this if he hadn't looked into the mirror and been fine with it.
Well,
I don't think revealing his true self is going to be that potent of a thing.
I mean, I would even, no, that's what I'm trying to say is that he actually can see his true self.
Yeah.
And because he can see his true self, he can describe it so accurately
mm-hmm.
and make you think he's talking about somebody else. But in reality, he's just describing a mirror.
Yeah.
And he can see it perfectly. And you can't believe anyone would say these things about themselves.
Yeah. The demon that attacked him is himself.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild.
So Tucker, he just wants, you know, like, even corruption's one thing.
Sure.
But you don't even want to have the appearance of corruption.
Like taking 17...
It was 15 million.
Oh, okay.
1789
Capital. 1789
Capital
only gave him 15 million? Why are you not giving him 17.89 million? God damn it!
It really is small potatoes when you think about it.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense. And that's what I worry about for independent media. I mean, we are, as you know, especially in the right, we're under enormous pressure already from the censors.
Yes.
You know, if you're broadcasting on YouTube, you're already, you know, up against it. We're every day in our live stream, I see some people saying, we don't even receive notifications when you go live. YouTube doesn't tell us you're going live. You're suppressed. You're suppressed. You're suppressed. So we know. We know we are. We're
it's
already
proved.
Up against it. And now you're going to layer on this additional level of, like, corruption. And you're going to – I don't want to say it's corrupt. It's just immoral, really, to say that you're, I love Kamala Harris. I love Kamala Harris. And you guys got to go out and vote for her. And I'm not going to tell my audience that I received, you know, tens of thousands of dollars from her, or the same on the Trump side.
That's
you're not
right.
going to say that.
And I don't know, I don't know how widespread that is, but, you know, if even the suspicion arises that people are not telling the truth because they're paid to, they're being paid to lie. I think that's incredibly cruel. I know, because I just exited 30 years in that business. That's very corrosive. So I hope that that is not happening in any widespread way. And I hope that it ends, because I mean, more than anything, I would much rather be wrong. I have been wrong a million times, including about big things, but I don't want to
Most
be dishonest and I don't want to be seen as dishonest. Both for my own reasons of integrity, but also because that, like, why would anyone watch you if you're a liar? Like, no one wants to watch a liar. It's not worth your time.
Everyone wants to watch a liar.
I mean, I don't know how to describe all of humanity more than everyone wants to watch a liar.
Yes.
I don't understand how the history even happens without everyone wants to watch a liar.
A liar is more interesting. Like, War of the Worlds is a lie, essentially, the way that it's broadcast.
Sure, sure.
And that changed the world. That is entertaining on a level that is, we want, the lies are interesting.
There's nowhere to go if somebody says something so bald-faced untrue as no one wants to watch a
liar. If Alex had to tell the truth, his show would be the most boring, stupid thing in the world. It's only interesting because of the flights of fancy that are lies.
Yeah.
That Tucker only can do any of this shit because he's lying constantly.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. This is, I think that there's such an essential piece that is, like, someone is lying to you about honesty.
Yeah.
And that is crazy.
I don't know.
It makes you feel nuts.
It is, you know, but it is that classic, like, hey, if you can, you know, honesty is everything. If you can fake that, you've got it made. That
right.
kind of thing.
You
know?
Get 15 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still mad about here's what I was looking at, because we were watching Chopped, right? Mm. Prize money is still 10K.
Yeah.
That when they started, now is worth 15K. So essentially the prize money has decreased by a third over time.
Mm-hmm.
It feels the same way about bribe money. I hadn't considered that. 15 million isn't that much to bribe somebody with.
Well, I don't think that's all he's gotten.
Sure, sure. But I mean, like, I hate the Mercers even more for depressing the bribe cost.
Hmm.
They're depressing the bribe market.
I think that also maybe some of the images of other bribes you're inflating.
Sure.
I think that maybe 15 million is a lot of fucking money.
I not as much as it used to be, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the bribes
inflation,
in my day.
Right. You go to the grocery
I'm
store.
I'm telling you, inflation is a problem.
15 million won't buy you eggs.
For $3 I get milk, and for $15 I get two milks?
Mm. Crazy. So anyway, when people are, like, lying and they're getting all this money, you kind of feel it. Tucker lets you know. You kind of feel it.
If we find out, and again, I haven't even heard this story, and if this is you know a lot more than I do. I will say that 100%. And your sources are phenomenal, so I will say that. But if we find out that like, you know, the RNC or somebody from some super PAC related to Trump was paying off like conservative YouTubers or Rumble people or something like that, I think that would be deeply disturbing on that side too, not just on the person who accepted the money, but it would raise a lot of questions for me on the backside, I guess. I'd have to really wrestle with that and sit with and think with that, because my immediate reaction
would be your pillow
bothered by it. But maybe maybe not. Like, if I sat with it for a while, I'd be like, well, how, maybe it's, is it any different than some other television ad, you know? But I don't know. I think I would be bothered by it. I think I'm bothered by it.
Yeah, and
just my
I have no evidence, that has happened at all. But I just think it's important to keep in mind that purity of spirit is detectable by others. People know who's being honest, who's saying something, because, you know, I really believe this. That's why I'm saying it. And I think people can feel that.
So Tucker wants you to trust the gut here, because he can manipulate the gut so much easier than the brain. Purity of spirit, you can just feel. Go fly a kite.
Get out of here.
Also, it's really important to note that the elephant in the room here is that a bunch of Tucker's associates just got caught taking huge amounts of money from a Russian government front called Tenet Media.
Sure.
This is part of what these dudes are dancing around rationalizing here and not wanting to address head on.
Maybe.
Funny story, the folks at Tenet Media didn't initially want to post Tucker's video where he's amazed at the Russian supermarket because they said it was, quote, like overt shilling.
On the nose.
These people who were literally taking millions from the Russian government, they thought Tucker's work was a little tacky.
Mm.
That's what he's working with.
I mean, hey, that'll happen.
You feel that in your gut.
I like it when a guy very honestly says something that if you don't think about the whole thing, you will not understand it. But essentially, what that guy just said is, if I did this corrupt thing, I would really have to think about it. I'd get over it. But it'd really make me feel bad for a while.
Right.
And you're like, you just said you don't care.
Right. Yeah. If I took a huge amount of money from these sort of corrupt influences.
Is it really just like a regular TV ad? I think it is.
I think I could rationalize that.
I think I could get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No shit, you could.
What are you talking about in this conversation where you're like, you got to trust people?
You took $4.5 million in finding fees from this weird real estate scam
thing. Know what's crazy?
What?
That reinforces my belief that I could get over it.
Yeah, I think I probably could. I think I'd be all right. Yeah. So there's a litmus test for leadership.
Sure.
And it's whether...
Fast food?
No. Oh. It has to do with Ukraine.
Oh.
I don't know how to the degree to which this is understood, but I just will say it. A war with Iran is a world war. This is not 2002. Iran is now part of a coalition that includes the biggest economies in the world and the largest militaries in the world. So a war with Iran means a war in effect, or, you know, by proxy, but still a war with Russia, China, Turkey, and a lot of the rest of the world. So that's a world war. It's not just as simple as we're going to take out their nuclear facilities. Okay. How are you going to do that? And how are you going to ensure that that doesn't destroy the United States in the process? And of course, they don't care whether it destroys the United States. That's the actual answer. They don't care. And if they cared, they would pause and think about it. But anyway, I don't want to be bitter about it. But to me, it's really simple. Anybody who would even consider having a war with Russia or Iran should not be in any position of power at all in this administration or any other administration. It's super simple. And I think especially Ukraine is so obvious. Now, there is some debate on Iran, and I'm not endorsing Iran. I'm not a Shiite. But there's really no debate at this point about the debacle that has been Ukraine. Ukraine's not going to win. It's just completely destroyed Ukraine. It hasn't crushed Russia. It's really hurt the United States. So anyone who can't say that out loud should not have a job in the federal bureaucracy. So that's my litmus test. It's not about people or personality. Right. Of course, I know them all, as I know you do too, and I like a lot of them. I even like some of the guys I disagree with. One in particular I like very much. Nice guy, good guy. But it's just a simple, practical test for whether or not you should wield power. Do you have the requisite wisdom to lead my country? And if you're still defending the war in Ukraine, you do not have the requisite wisdom to lead my country. That's my opinion.
That's a good litmus test. We should start there. That's like the basic, the kindergarten test. Do you support this?
Yes!
And you
exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
It's quite a litmus test. Did you learn about that at the grocery store?
I'm a little bit off-put by the phrasing, if you defend the war in Ukraine.
Right.
As though the position that he's taking is not, you should annex Ukraine.
You should accede to,
to
Putin.
And the position other people are taking is, Ukraine has to invade Russia, otherwise we'll never win. You know, like, it's a fascinating...
Well, it's a form
defend
of...
Defend the Ukraine war.
It's a form of lying by omission.
Sure.
You're omitting real positions.
Absolutely.
In favor of pretending it's an argument between your side, which is peace, and the other side, which is, I love war.
Yeah.
And that's maybe a kindergarten test. Is if you can see through that sort of fraudulent framing that these guys are engaged in.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think it's that much of a surprise to hear Tucker being like, my hardcore baseline issue is whether or not you support Putin taking over Ukraine.
I mean, I guess.
Eh.
If that's really, you know, there's a bigger part of me that thinks, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
From a space perspective, what the fuck is Tucker Carlson talking about? What good would annexing Ukraine have for him?
Well, I think that...
Does he get to become a duke? A Duke-crane.
Eventually.
I'm going to get out of here.
Eventually, I think he would find duke status.
All right.
So I think that lying by omission is very present in this next clip, where Tucker discusses how Satan is in charge of our government.
All right, I'm listening.
The Biden administration now has okayed anti-personnel mines to be used, something they've long said absolutely we won't use. These are basically a lot of like the same petal mines that are thrown into the ground in Donetsk and the Donbass region. And children go to the playgrounds and they find these little petal mines that look like leaves. They pick them up and their arms are blown off or they're killed. And the Biden administration was absolutely against this. This was their stance. And now suddenly, within the past week, all of this has changed. So who the hell is running the White House? I mean, you've got, again, I know you're humble about this, but you've got amazing sources there. Like, Biden is not, who is running the White House? Like, who is our de facto president? Is it Antony Blinken right now? Is it Jake Sullivan? Who is doing this?
Well, if you'd asked me yesterday morning, I would have said Tony Blinken, who has been running it since the beginning. But now I would say Satan, because anybody, I really think that you've got, you know, dark forces in charge. I mean, there's no justification for using anti-personnel mines in this conflict, which can't hope to be solved with anti-personnel mines resolved in any way. The only effect of that move is to kill innocents, period. That's it. That's the only effect. And they know that. And so they're doing it anyway, because killing is the point.
I think that, you could very easily, probably find me in the past saying that the Iraq war was evil. You
sure.
know, like in 2007 or something, I might have
sure.
said, you know, Cheney is evil.
Sure.
I probably would have. I wouldn't have said that Satan is in charge of the government and there's dark forces.
Sure.
I would have been using this as a metaphor,
right.
whereas I don't think that Tucker is.
Right.
But also, it's great to be opposed to landmines. Like, I think that they're a horrible thing that exists in war, and I think that we probably shouldn't use them for a lot of the very reasons that Tucker's describing.
Sure.
A lot of times they get left behind and they generally hurt civilians.
Sure.
But Tucker's lying by omission, by not acknowledging that Russia has extensively laid out landmines in the war against Ukraine. And it's not even a member of the Anti-Personnel Mine Ban Convention. Like, Russia is one of the great landminers.
Sure.
He's lying by omission because not acknowledging that fact serves his interests. Point the finger at Ukraine putting out landmines and pretend that the side that he actually supports is... like, not doing the same stuff he says is satanic.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. And the only reason to do that is lying by omission.
All right.
Yeah.
So there have been, I would say, at least six governments over the past several thousand years, right? At least six.
I think so.
Probably more. I would take the over. Does Tucker believe that you can actually trace the lineage of Satan's governing patterns all the way back? Or is this the first time Satan has tried running a major nation?
Well, I want to answer this in a playful way.
Okay.
But I think he's talking shit.
Okay, well,
so
that's fair.
I don't know if there's an actual answer to this.
Fair.
And here's one of the reasons why I think that.
Okay.
Because he said that yesterday he would have said Anthony Blinken was in charge, but today he says Satan.
It does feel like tomorrow he might say Tony Blinken again.
Or he got attacked by a demon again last night.
Entirely possible.
Last night something happened.
Entirely possible.
Changing from Blinken to Satan.
It could be.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Maybe he's just really overcommitted to some of this imagery and this language.
Yeah.
Because he's a desperate shithead who's trying to sell anti-woke tobacco.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyway, he tweeted not too long ago
about
how there's a battle between good and evil. And Tucker does not tweet that much.
Okay.
So this is a big deal, according to Clayton.
Mm.
You know, I think you tweeted the other day, I think you said something like, the prayers of good people got Donald Trump elected 2 weeks ago. Wars with Russia and Iran are the counterattack. And I know you don't post a lot on X. Like, when you do...
Never.
It's...
Never.
Yeah, I mean, it's... But it's very thoughtful... And it's for a purpose, right? So when I saw that, I just shook my head at thinking, my God, well, if this is the counterattack, who's the counterattack from? I mean, this is some dark force that's
it's almost really like you made it up
to undermine this Trump administration, right? I mean, and it's so evil. I mean, have you ever seen an administration like this?
Yes.
Where
no,
tons
in office. You try to drag the next administration into a world war.
No.
I mean, I get what the Clintons did. Leaving office, they removed the W's from the keyboards for George W. Bush. Like, in, you know, like
I remember that.
This is this is totally different.
Well, I'm hardly a theologian. I mean, I'm the opposite of a theologian. I don't understand really anything about theology, and really don't care to. But I just have noticed through years of observation that there is a kind of dualism. Isn't exactly the right word, but there is a war. In the unseen world between light and darkness, good and bad. It's been described by every civilization since the beginning of time, so I think we can assume it's real.
Slam dunk.
And you do see that, you know, expressions of good, manifestations of good are sometimes followed, and vice versa, by outbursts of evil. And I don't think there's any other way to read that. And by counterattack in that tweet, which I wrote this morning, I don't have my Twitter password, so I, you know, sent it to my office and said, please tweet this. Thought of it in my sauna this morning, but I was just brooding on it and saying prayers about it. And I was like, I think Trump, I don't know that Trump's like a super faithful Christian or anything, but I know a lot of very faithful Christians prayed for Trump. And I think it had an effect. I do. I think it was the determinative effect. I really believe that. And the counterattack is promoting war for its own sake without any promise of any kind of meaningful victory. Truly war for the sake of killing people, totally unadorned. No one's even pretending that we're going to get democracy or something if these missiles kill Putin. I mean, there's no argument even. It's like, no, we're killing because we can. That is the definition of evil. And if I could just say one thing that does distress me about American society is that not enough time has been spent thinking about how violence is bad.
Wow, that's thoughtful.
Not enough time has been spent thinking violence is bad.
Smash cut to Tucker interview or announcing Alex on stage as the most remarkable, amazing human being that he's ever met in his life. Smash cut again to Alex pornographically describing beating people up in holy vengeance.
I mean, you could even just go to smash cut to 2005 and Tucker being like, video games are out of control with violence. Like, believe me.
Or him supporting the Iraq war.
Absolutely.
Him being a hawk for a good part of his career.
Yeah.
Smash cut to Trump talking about bombing the shit out of people.
Yeah.
Like, go fuck off. Like, I agree with your point, but not him.
No, I understand.
It's so counterfeit.
MOAB actually stood for Man of Peace, but we don't use the P. Instead, we use AB. It's a very long acronym,
it's a different character system. Whatever. Like, I get it. There's a lot of power in this. Like, we prayed Trump into office, and now the devil is fighting back.
Yeah.
But come on.
I think one fundamental aspect of Tucker's particular loathsomeness is that he doesn't make arguments that make you angry so much as, like, I very calmly want to fight you. You know, like,
sure.
Oh, okay, so you want to fight. Okay, mm-hmm. That's fine. I just wish you had, like, not spoken, because
mm-hmm.
those were bad things that you said.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say.
Let's punch each other. That's fine.
Yeah.
I prefer that. I really do to listening to you speak.
Yeah. This is where you are trying to take this.
Yeah. With Alex, you're like, no! But with this, you're like, okay, cool.
And Alex,
let's fight.
Alex really does also a lot of times feel like he wants to argue.
Sure.
Like, as much as he talks about how, oh, I'm going to break your neck.
Does not want to actually get into a fight.
Probably not.
Could really get hurt.
I think that there's
a part.
His
knees are shit.
He just wants to yell at you.
Absolutely. And then he'll go away. Yes.
Whereas Tucker is like, I'm gonna have to hit you.
Yeah, sorry, man. I don't even feel good about it.
So now I think that there's this very interesting alliance between Alex and Tucker because of convenience and because Tucker wants to cash in on Alex's status as a prophet or whatever doing. And Alex has very little options in terms of people who will respect him and take him seriously who have a wide reach.
Under five.
So Tucker works for that.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated by instances that I see where it's like they would come to blows over this.
Sure.
And this is definitely one of them.
Violence is bad. And by the way, if you're a Christian, it's not allowed. It's super obvious you don't need to be a theologian to glean that from the New Testament. You're not allowed to do that. Jesus is being hauled away to be tortured to death on false charges. And, you know, one of his guys raises a sword against one of the people carrying him away, dragging him off to get tortured to death. And Jesus scolds the man with the sword who's doing it on his behalf. Says, put that away. And so we are not allowed to commit violence against people, except I would argue maybe under self-defense, you know, in a self-defense scenario, but certainly not. So
I mean, I could get over
powerful
it.
Or because we're annoyed or because we don't like a certain president or something. It's like, it's nuts. And because not enough people say that, it goes unquestioned.
Alex believes that sort of righteous, holy violence is sanctioned by the Bible.
Yep.
And Jesus said, go get your sword, sell your cloak and get a sword.
Kick ass.
Yeah. So the two of them are fundamentally opposed in the way that they interpret violence.
Well, I mean, it helps that Tucker doesn't believe a fucking word of that.
No.
It does help. It does help smooth over the argument if you can immediately go, I'm a liar.
Right. And that's kind of part of the point of why it comes to blows.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like,
you don't believe a fucking word.
Yeah. I'm loath to say that Alex believes what he's saying, because a lot of the time he is full of shit and lying.
No. He doesn't believe what he's saying, but he believes something, which is strange.
Yeah.
It's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused by him. With Tucker, there's no confusion.
Nah, I get this.
No. Yeah. I understand. buddy, I understand through you.
You're not crazy enough to pull this off, Tucker.
Nope.
Tell me you were attacked by a fucking demon.
Get the fuck out of here and get your head in a toilet.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Nerd.
Yeah.
Anyway, they start complaining about Tammy Duckworth.
Why not?
Well, because she was a woman in the military.
Hey, what are you going to do?
And I think this is quite revealing.
Mm.
Like CNN last week when they hauled out Tammy Duckworth to talk about the virtues of putting women in combat. Like, I don't think that's the flex you thought it is. You know, when all of Tammy Duckworth's limbs have been destroyed as a result of combat, and CNN's like, see, women can. This is why we want to send women to be maimed in combat.
They really do that?
Oh,
they
yeah.
Really did that?
I couldn't believe it. Like, that was the argument against when... I don't know who said it. I think it was Matt Gaetz said women should not be in combat. I think it was a response to Matt Gaetz saying, look, we should be protecting. I've said, and I tweeted out, I said, we should be protecting our women, not sending them to the front lines of these wars. And CNN trotted Tammy Duckworth out to say, see, this is why you should. It was unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And I agree with, I think what you said is the truest thing. It's not that women aren't brave or capable. Of course they're brave. You know, it's like... I've got a whole business. It's, you know, women are into. I mean, three daughters. I couldn't be more for women. I couldn't respect their talents
Bet
more.
You could.
But my obligation as a man is to protect the women of my life. That's why I'm here. And if we have a country, then the whole purpose of the military is to prevent our women from being killed and raped. That's the only reason we have a military.
Okay. Our women.
Are
oh
we
boy.
Monkeys? Are we monkeys? Like, straight up, like, just answer the question. Answer the question. Are we monkeys? The only reason you're here is to protect the fucking womb? What yeah. are we doing?
Yeah, the military is here to protect the breeding stock.
Don't have a military. I guess make more wombs. What are we doing?
Well, I think he wants that, too. Lots more white wombs.
What are you even saying?
It's really weird to just have it be this open, like the conversation that they're having. And there doesn't seem to be a problem for them. Like, there's no like, this is strange that we believe this and have this possessiveness. And look, I have a business. I respect women.
What are you saying?
I don't know.
What does that even mean? I respect women. Define respect women if also it includes.
Well, I'll make choices for them.
See, there we go.
For their own good, because they can't make those choices.
Exactly. Because yeah. I'm protecting them.
Yeah. They don't know what's good for them.
Okay, so you want to fight. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's all you needed to say.
So now here's what I think is really fascinating beyond the rank chauvinism
sure.
of that
sure.
clip. Clayton starts off the clip talking about how they trotted out Tammy Duckworth to talk about how great women are in the
right.
military.
Right.
And she has no limbs. And, you know, like,
sure.
there's that. And it's
sure,
kind of,
sure,
like,
sure.
disgusting. But this is where he's starting off the premise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They trotted her out
yep.
in order to sort of promote women in yep. the military.
She's the prop because they made her that. Not me. I didn't make her the prop.
Well, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
As they're talking, Tucker's like, did they really do that?
Yeah.
Did they really do that? And then it's revealed that what actually happened is Matt Gaetz said that women shouldn't serve in combat.
Yeah.
And this was Tammy Duckworth coming out to respond to Matt Gaetz saying
sure.
this misogynist thing.
Sure.
About how we need to protect women for their own good.
She couldn't possibly have made that choice by herself.
No.
No.
But see, you see, the way that it's revealed that, oh, what I'm talking about is actually Matt Gaetz said something and it's being responded to by somebody.
Right.
Not that out of nowhere and without context, no. Tammy Duckworth was trotted out on CNN.
Yeah.
But what Tucker ends up responding to is the original idea that Tammy Duckworth was trotted out on CNN
right.
in order to glorify
right.
women being in combat.
Right.
He responds to the original premise, even though the original premise, as presented, has been shown to be lying by omission.
Yeah.
And that's yeah. interesting.
It is very much one of those pure examples of, like, you fucked up. You mm-hmm. shouldn't have engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Gaetz did this on purpose, so you would do that, and now it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You fool. He doesn't even believe that women shouldn't serve in the military. He's just talking shit.
I think...
Or maybe he does, but he's still
mixture.
Just talking
might
shit.
Be a mixture.
Yeah, exactly.
So Tucker goes on a little bit further
yeah.
down his misogyny hole here.
Sure.
And I'm blown away by this.
Okay.
If we have a country, then the whole purpose of the military is to prevent our women from being killed and raped. That's the only reason we have a military. And
right.
so if instead we're asking women to fight our wars for us, that's grotesque and dishonorable. And so it's not a question of women's rights. It's a question of men's obligations as men, as protectors right. and providers. That's our job. Now, I know we're living in a period where we can pretend that's not our job, and your wife's got a job at Citibank, and she's a provider or whatever. But, you know, this is just a moment in time. This is just a spot on a continuum, and that is not the rule. It's biology doesn't suggest that that's true. It's not real. And, you know, over time, people will look back on this and say, boy, those people talked themselves into some seriously destructive nonsense. But most destructive of all is the idea that, you know, I'm going to sit back and let the women in my house fight a war. Are you joking? If I have a home invasion in my house, do I say to my wife, you know what, I got the last one. Will you repel the invaders?
See, because I think what it is that he can cram so many reasons to start a fight into one sentence.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, dude, no. Why are you? What? No. The first 8 words you said, we're done.
Mm.
You're still talking.
Well, I think there's something swing worthy about this. Like, we let women fight our wars because, you know, there's R is
yeah.
a word that does not include women.
No.
Apparently.
Yep.
The us
yep.
is not them.
Nope.
The us is middle-aged white men.
Yep.
It's an interesting glimpse into, like, how, like, fundamentally chauvinist he views the natural order.
Yeah.
there's a sense that we'll look back on this time when we pretended that women had jobs and that was cute, and we'll look back on that as a delusion of time, and like, okay, man. Wow.
I don't know if I've ever more accurately used the word bewildered, but that bewildered me.
Sure.
You know?
I mean, it's a small step from this to, like, the road that leads to The Handmaid's Tale.
I mean, just keep them in birthing chambers. Say it and let's move on with our lives. I want to see them once a day whenever we fuck, and then once whenever they throw a baby out and then put it back in their hole.
And then I'll fantasize about protecting them.
Yeah, yeah. I've saved them. Oh, my God. Keeping them in a hole. Cool, that keeps them safe.
Cool, cool.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's I think the reason why it's okay. I think the reason that you feel the desire to fight,
sure,
is because Tucker exists enough in the real world that, like, it feels like he's touching on real things.
Sure.
With Alex, there's like, there's no chance we're ever going to have agreement, and you are just some kind of crazy off in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. You go to Bilderberg. Why are we going to fight about the globalists? You're in Spain or whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. Whereas Tucker, like, the harm that he's advocating, and it feels so much realer.
Yeah.
And it feels so much closer to power in a way that, like, that respectability bridge is visible with Tucker.
Yeah.
With Alex, it's not.
Yeah.
Alex is disconnected enough from, like, the real levers of power where he's like, I made all the staffing decisions with Trump's first term. It's like, no, you didn't. Fuck off.
Fine. Yeah.
You had some influence in whatever way downstream and culture and all of this. And yes, you're toxic.
Yeah.
But whatever. Tucker actually feels like, well, you probably could get people hired and fired in the White House.
Yeah. Buddy, we got to do this. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
I don't want to be here any more than you do. No. And yet here we are. Fisticuffs is about to begin.
So in this next clip,
yeah,
Tucker talks about Antifa.
Sure. Got to worry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been suspicious.
I haven't heard
in their absence.
I haven't heard of Antifa being a problem since the media stopped making them a problem.
Well, here's the truth of it is that there were more convenient boogeymen for the right wing.
Yeah.
And so they kind of got less interested in in anti-fascist types and the real sort of left wing organizing. And
you would think with the number of sleeper cells and assassins that the Antifa armies were claimed to have, you would want to keep an eye on them.
Sure, sure. And that polled well and did a lot of numbers when it did.
Yeah.
But like immigrants and stuff like that, that's pushing the needle a little more, moving more product.
Yeah.
So they've been complaining mostly about that.
Yeah.
Tucker's like, hey man, they haven't been around for a while. And why
maybe they weren't even real.
Why don't they talk about credit card debt?
You know, last thing I'll say, Antifa, which was, you know, of course, laid dormant during the entire 4 years of Biden because they are the
sounds true.
You know, the youth wing of the Democratic Party. Maybe they'll be mobilized again. But they were always like, we're so radical, we're Antifa. And I always thought to myself, if you're really radical, why are you never mentioning the fact that credit card companies are charging 20% interest? You know, they're always radical, like, we hate white people, or, you know, we hate any group that's not voting for the Democratic Party. You know, they hate whites because they're not voting Democrat. That's why they hate whites. Mm. Now they're going to hate Hispanics because Hispanics aren't either. I hope Hispanics are ready to be denounced. But they never said a word about the actual power in this country, and the banks are at the very top of that pyramid. The people who live off the interest that you pay, that enslaves you. No one ever mentioned that. The radicals never mentioned that. Not one time.
This is absolutely not true. And what he's actually expressing is the caricature that I reported on of these people never included this thing. Isn't that interesting? The complaint that I think they should have, they didn't have because I was demonizing them as cartoons.
Yeah.
Who just hate white people. So that's fun.
In general, if I recall correctly, their conversations with the media tended to be, please don't talk to us, you're bad, as opposed to, we should be concerned about credit card debt.
Well, but I also think that there were plenty of critiques within, you know, anti-fascist circles of predatory credit cards.
Well, you can't be anti-capitalism and also at the same time be like, well, credit cards should absolutely be able to charge the amount of interest that they desire.
Right.
Yeah, that's just not how it works.
So essentially what happened is that when Tucker was spending a lot of time yelling about Antifa, he was lying by omission by not talking about what these groups actually were and what they believed in, because it was much more advantageous for him to create this boogeyman of, hey, they just hate white people, bah, they're the youth arm of the Democratic Party, So he lied by omission to create that caricature.
Yeah.
And now he's looking back at the caricature that he created by lying by omission, and then lying by omission about that.
That's fun.
It is.
That's just fun. That's just good, plain fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Swinging.
I mean, hey, you know, like... There's a part of me that sits like a monk in a temple, just very calm and relaxed, saying, you know, like, your words can't actually hurt me. I really don't care. But at the same time, I did spend a lot of time training in martial arts. So let's kill two birds with one stone. You know, I'm not going to let your words hurt me, and I'm going to get a workout in. Done and done.
Yeah. I do think that you and Tucker should box for charity.
I would question whether or not charity should be associated with what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's why you gotta find a cool charity.
The Red Cross isn't going to do it.
So, Tucker, of course, the subject of aliens comes up.
Sure,
and this is interesting.
Hmm.
I'll get you out of here on this, and I would be remiss if I didn't ask you this, because back in the day when you and I were sitting there on Fox and Friends couch and talking for 3 hours, 4 hours a day in commercial breaks and having coffee, you and I would often talk about UFOs, UAPs, and all of this stuff. And I was a crazy person, of course, so I, you know. And but you had this hearing, of course, the other day, and we're past the point. Yes, aliens exist, whatever. We have reverse engineered their craft. We have these materials. We know this now. That's on the congressional record. We have this stuff. Like, let's move the conversation beyond that. I want to ask you about zero point energy and these technologies that I think this government has in their possession. I think it's verifiable.
It's verifiable?
Instantaneous travel. I think it's one of the greatest cover-ups in human history that we don't have access to this technology.
Are you
hopeful at all that these members of Congress, Nancy Mace and others, are going to be able to, Timber Shedd and others, are going to be able to pull this out of these deep programs and release it? Like, what's your, when you're in the smoky filled rooms, what are you hearing about this?
Well, no, I'm not at all hopeful. I'm not at all confident. One of the members, I don't want to betray secrets, but one of the, and I think this is correct, the members of Congress you just mentioned, I won't say which, pushed hard on the UAP Disclosure Act of 2022, which has never kind of been enacted. And as a result, was primaried by his own party, which is, you know, the kind of maximum punishment in electoral politics. So there is a massive, we cannot overstate the effort in place to prevent disclosure. And the question really is why?
Why? Now, I got lost in a little bit of a fantasy while I was listening to this.
Sure.
Where this guy, Clayton, is like, all right, look, there's aliens. Let's grow up. Let's move past this.
Let's be adults.
Come on.
We're all capable
Come
of
on,
learning.
There's aliens. We all know this. Yeah. Now, would you like to buy a house on the cheap that I'm going to flip?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do, sir.
This guy is just cool and credible. Is the way that I get, like, the vibe that I get off him is just great.
You know what I hate is that for all the things that these people, we've listened to them lie about, I 100% believe that he believes there is instantaneous travel somewhere.
Probably.
I 100% guarantee that is a core belief of his, and that makes me even angrier.
And I think that Tucker's response to the question as it goes on is kind of like, eh, it's complicated. You know, like, it just, maybe no one's making any money off this or whatever, but these technologies are suppressed because it would get messy. It gets complex.
There you go.
What do you do?
What are you going to do?
Right.
Yeah, we can't be introducing that into the economy. Yeah, no, come on.
It'd be disruptive too much.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we have one last clip talking about this alien subject.
Sure.
And it begins with Tucker kind of having a hacky stand-up premise.
Great.
And then going real wide with it.
But can I ask you a question? So there is this there's this process of recovering of these craft, whatever they are, right? And the so-called biologics that reside within, supposedly. And I'm sure you're aware of this. So how exactly are there so many crashed UAPs? What is that? They have the technology to, you know, travel 150 knots underwater, but they somehow crash a lot. I mean, it doesn't kind of make any sense. They just have like bad GPS or something. It's like they possess technology that defies the laws of physics, but they crash. So I just don't think that makes any sense. And what I believe is true is that these recoveries have been the result of the summoning of these craft.
I hate
and
you. That's I hate you so much.
The summoning of these craft. So, you know, if you're summoning, what does that even mean?
Good question.
You're talking about a phenomenon that exists in the spiritual realm. I mean, that's more like a seance than a science expedition, right?
Right.
Doesn't make it any less real, by the way.
Woof. So, yeah, I think that there's something really fun about what's up with all these UFOs crashing? They got such great handling. They're so fast in all this, and they crash. Come on. I like that as like a kind of bad stand-up bit.
Sure.
And then the I think it's because they're being summoned is a real disaster. That's a real disaster.
I mean,
people are doing they're talking to a Ouija board and a UFO shows up.
I don't know. I just don't know. I don't even know what it means to combine all of these dumb things within the same context.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it's a summoning. Okay, fine. You think it's a summoning. Why is your summoning so bad?
Right.
How is that not a plot hole here?
Sure. The summoning it ends up in a crash.
Get better at your summoning.
Right.
What are you doing?
You're summoning these things. Presumably they could land.
Absolutely.
You wouldn't have to crash.
If I understood my magic history correctly, alchemists would try to summon things within a circle on the floor.
Let me rebut.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe the summon is an attack. So maybe you're wanting them to crash because that neutralizes a force that you couldn't defeat if they were allowed to land.
All right.
So maybe that's the explanation.
I am willing to accept that. Fine.
Yeah.
I'll take it. I'll take any explanation beyond whatever it was he said.
But then I have to ask the question.
Don't!
Why is our government using tax dollars to do this? These aliens are minding their own business, and then we're summoning them into a crash.
Next question. How is our government using tax dollars to summon things?
Well, it all comes back to money, doesn't it?
Do we have a university where people are taught alchemical summoning skills?
And it's presided over by Elon Muskeldor, or whatever the fuck his name was, in that stupid AI video.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
That's what we deserve.
RFK,
you know what? We deserve this.
RFK Jr. teaches potions.
this is what we've earned. We earned it. I feel like we should be more proud about how terrible we are because this is kind of
on a level.
Yeah. There is an achievement there.
So I think that I'm drawn to this a little bit because I think that Tucker is definitely a more interesting media presence right now than Alex is.
Agreed.
And then also, this is wacky. This is capturing a little bit of that wacky Wednesday energy that we needed.
It is,
and I think that it's definitely not punching down.
Oh,
Tucker
no.
is one of the most famous people in the world.
True.
And he's talking about utter bullshit and crazy nonsense.
With a straight face.
And he's been attacked by a demon.
Yep.
This guy. This fucking guy.
If he could edit, it would save me a lot of guff. Mm. You know? Like, I just would like a more condensed version of 16 different stupid things in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just four. Maybe we can handle four stupid things in a row. But when he's on number eight and you're like, you've got two more sentences. I swear to God, I know you've got two more sentences. You know?
Aliens are real. They're being summoned here. Women shouldn't have jobs.
Fine.
And
we can handle that. Okay. Now we can talk.
And you must oppose Ukraine.
Now we can talk. We can have a conversation.
All right, man.
Ugh.
So anyway, this was an interesting little path to go down.
I think it was.
But we'll check back in with Alex, see if he's back in studio in the near future. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. I'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo!
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.